On Friday, the 8th of April, 1966, on the front cover of Time magazine, there was a very interesting question. Just three words. Is God dead? Is God dead? Well, is God dead? Well, let's listen to the angels. Let's listen today to the answer of the angels in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Hallelujah! God is not dead. The Lord, as the psalmist said, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Thank God, today the Lord is not dead. The Lord is alive. We come today to think about the resurrection of Christ. Remember that it's a historical fact. We're not dealing here in fairy tales, fairy stories, pie in the sky, by and by. We're not dealing in legends and myths. We're dealing here in hard fact. Christ really did rise from the dead. As you read through Luke chapter 24, it's amazing how many times it speaks about things that were opened. Did you notice that? Things that were opened. And that's what I want to speak about today. You could call it divine openings. There are five things, I believe, that were opened in this chapter. I want us to think about them this morning as we bring the service to a conclusion. First of all, of course, there's the opened sepulchre. The opened sepulchre. You read there in verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. So here you have these women, and they come to the tomb. As far as they're concerned, Jesus is dead, still in the grave. They're filled with gloom. Wonder, are you filled with gloom today? Very often people are filled with gloom. They've got a gloomy outlook on life. The resurrection of Christ ought to dispel gloom for the Christian. Yes, we have our trials, we have our problems, of course we do. We're not saying that we're going to be freed from those things and freed from trouble if we're Christians, but what I'm saying today, even in the midst of our troubles, thank God we can rejoice because our Savior has risen. The gloom can be lifted. Christ can lift your gloom today. I don't know the reason for your gloom. As I've said before, the reality is I don't need to know. Unless, of course, you want to tell me sometime, and you're welcome to come. You're welcome to approach me. I'm the pastor. That's what I'm here for. But maybe it's just me, but I'm not the type of person who pries into people's private lives. But if you want to speak about any issue, you feel free to come to me. But what I want to emphasize today is whatever is causing your gloom today, I want to bring the good news of the resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ would say to you today, I can lift the gloom, I can dispel the gloom. Hallelujah. We find that the gloom was dispelled in Luke chapter 24. These ladies who went to the grave, they found out that the Lord was not there and that he was risen. And my, their gloom was turned into glory, you could say. My, their despair was turned into joy. You see, God the Father raised up Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. God the Father raised up his Son. Think about it like this. Good Friday was the payment for sin. Easter Day was God the Father giving the receipt. Of course, whenever you go into a shop, I'm sure you were in a shop yesterday or sometime during the past week, you got your receipt, didn't you? Proof of payment. You know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died on Good Friday, nearly 2,000 years ago, he paid a price. He paid the price of our redemption, and the price of our redemption was the shedding of his precious blood. We're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, the Bible says, but with the precious blood of Christ, the payment was made. And then whenever the Savior rose on Easter Sunday, God the Father gave him the receipt, as it were. Proof of payment. The sacrifice was accepted. Have you got the receipt? You think about it today. Have you got your receipt? More to the point, one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was nailed to the cross for you, will you be able to present the receipt to him? Lord, you paid it all, and I'm trusting in your payment. Oh, thank God for the resurrection. It's the great receipt. It's like an invoice that God has given to his beloved Son, and thank God we too can have that blessed receipt. Are you trusting in Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? It's very interesting here as these women come to the open sepulcher. Notice the time that they came. Did you notice that in verse 1? Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. Have you ever heard the phrase, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise? Maybe you wondered who said that. It was actually Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States of America. There's a lot of truth in that statement. There's a lot of wisdom in it. It's actually been proven scientifically that people who go to bed early have lower rates of heart disease. Listen to it. This is not something I'm making up. They have lower rates of heart disease, diabetes, and overall lower death rates than those who stay up late and get up late. See, the point that I'm trying to make today, what I'm trying to get at is, we live in a society where people burn the candle at both ends, don't they? And sad to say, there's a lot of people, well, it's 12:15, they're not even out of their beds yet. Very different to the ladies on Easter Sunday morning. Very early in the morning. It's you know, amazing whenever you read through the scriptures that you read of different people who rose up early. Keeps appearing, this phrase, rose up early. Bible tells us that Abraham rose up early. Jacob rose up early. Moses rose up early. Joshua rose up early. Gideon rose up early. David rose up early. Job rose up early. And our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us he rose up early. You remember what it says in Mark chapter 1? A great while before day, he rose up and he went to pray in a solitary place. Rising up early. The point I'm trying to make today is a very practical one. For the good of our health, if possible, we need to get into a routine of going to bed early and getting up early. Our forefathers used to do this. This is the way they lived. So, you know, some people say, oh, well, I remember meeting somebody on the door. And they said, oh, well, I don't go to church on Sunday morning because Sunday's the only day I get a lie-in. Well, I felt like saying, take your lie-in on a Saturday night. I think that's what people need to do. Take your lie-in, have your lie-in on a Saturday night. And by the way, is 11:30 so early that people can't make it to church? Is it not even possible that people could have a lie-in on a Sunday morning and still get to church for 11:30? Of course it is. Now here we read that these ladies, they rose very early in the morning. Don't burn the candle at both ends. What is it the doctors talk about, 8 hours a night? I think that's wise if we try to aim to be, whether we sleep for 8 hours, we might toss and turn a wee bit. But if we aim to be in bed for a period of 8 hours each night, to get to bed early, get up early, you'll reap the health benefits. You see, doctors say, those who know, those medical practitioners, general practitioners, it's a well-known fact, they say that man is what's called a diurnal being. A diurnal being. Now let me explain what that word means. It means that we are made to function during daylight hours. That's the way God has made us. We're made so that we work during the hours of daylight, but then when it gets dark, we're made in such a way that we're to rest, we're to sleep. Of course, sleep in itself is a miracle. Have you ever thought about sleep? How whenever you close your eyes and your brain rests, and the Lord has made us in such a wonderful and fearful way that our brain rests during the night, and we're able to, as it were, go into a subconscious state. It's a miracle. It's another proof of the great Creator who has made us. It's a rebuke to atheism. But yes, you know, there's a lot of truth in that statement. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. These women, they come to the open sepulchre, but they've got to go. They didn't stay at the sepulchre. And you know, the message to us today is, come and see. Come and see the empty tomb. Come and examine the facts for yourself, investigate it, and see that Christ is really alive, but then go and tell. Come and see this morning in this church. I'm glad that you've come to see, but now go and tell. When we come to 12:30, go and tell. Share the message with others. Speak to others. Speak to those that you meet each day. And whenever someone says to you, the Bible's just a book of fairy tales. There's no such thing as Jesus Christ rising from the dead. You don't believe that, do you? You're not that gullible. You're not that naive to believe that this man called Jesus really came back to life. Whenever people speak like that, you'll be able to say, hold on a minute. It's a proven historical fact. And he really did rise from the dead. Of course, you notice the verse on the front of the bulletin. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Oh, that we might go and tell. The open sepulchre, then there's other open things in Luke 24, the open scriptures in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a Bible survey. The Lord Jesus took those two believers on the road to Emmaus. He took them from Genesis to Malachi, through every book, and he described and taught them how that every book speaks of him. Christian, have you realized that yet? Have you realized that you find Christ in all the scriptures? I remember for some years as a Christian thinking that the New Testament only spoke of Christ. I never caught on that the Old Testament speaks of him as well. The whole book, entire scriptures, they're about the Savior. They point forward to him. What an experience it must have been for them. And it tells us that their hearts burned within them as he talked with them. By the way, my, what a privileged people they were. Those two, that pair on the road to Damascus, my, what an experience they had. But, here's the but, you can have that experience every time you read the scriptures, because you've got the Holy Spirit to help you. The Holy Spirit is the representative of Christ upon earth. It's not the Pope, by the way. I know he calls himself and he styles himself as the Vicar of Christ. He's an imposter. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, represents Christ upon earth, and he's the one who makes our hearts burn within us as we study the scriptures, as we read the scriptures, as we listen to the preaching of the scriptures. Oh, there was the opened scriptures, the opened sepulcher. Also in this chapter, you know, you've got opened eyes. Eyes were opened. Verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, it doesn't mean that they were sitting there in their house with their eyes shut like that there. It's not what it means. It means that they realized who this stranger was. They recognized him. The truth dawned on them. I don't know what exactly it was that caused their eyes to open. I know, of course, it's the Lord that opened their eyes. He's the only one who can open the eyes of sinners to see the truth, to recognize Christ. But I'm just speaking about the practical things. I don't know whether it was the fact that he gave thanks and he took the bread and, they remembered the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. This is the Savior. Or perhaps, as he took that bread, broke that bread, and gave the bread to them, they saw the nail prints in his hands. Their eyes were opened. Oh, that the Lord would open your eyes today to see the beauty of Christ. Oh, don't think about this church. We're not here to preach a church or to preach a denomination, to preach a creed, a religion. We're here to preach Christ. We're here to present Christ to you. And our prayer is that your eyes would be opened, that you would see the loveliness of Christ, and that you would put your faith in the crucified and the risen Savior. Their eyes were opened. There's a little chorus that we sometimes sing. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. I'm not talking about having a vision of Jesus. You know, you hear some of these TV evangelists, charismatic, hyper-Pentecostal people, preachers, they talk about, oh, I saw the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to me last night. I saw Jesus, and I talked with Jesus. Bunkum. Nonsense. Then they go on to ask you for your money. We're not speaking here about literally seeing Christ with our eyes. We're talking here about seeing him in this book as we read it. That's how he reveals himself. Oh, that we would catch a glimpse of him even today. The open sepulchre, the open scriptures, the opened eyes. There's the opened understanding in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. There is a place for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, but you know, ultimately, the Lord needs to open our understanding. You know, you hear people say today, oh, well, that old King James Bible, I can't understand it, and how could you expect children to understand all that old language and funny words? I'll tell you how you could expect children to understand it. With the help of the Holy Spirit. The revelation of the Holy Spirit. Somehow today the church has left the Holy Spirit out of it. And the idea of a lot of churches today is that we understand the scriptures by education. How good the preacher is at explaining. How good the Sunday school teacher or the children's evangelist is at explaining it. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't explain and teach. Of course we should. But what I'm saying is that ultimately we are dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit. We're dependent on the risen Lord by His Spirit to help us to understand the Scriptures. Understanding of the Word of God comes not through education, it comes through revelation. Then as we finish today, you have the opened heavens. Not only the opened sepulchre, the opened scriptures, the opened eyes, the opened understanding, but you've got the opened heavens, because right at the very end of the chapter, we read in verse 51, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." The heavens were opened to receive him. Tell me this, have you ever received him? Oh, the heavens have received him. They've welcomed him in, welcomed him back with open arms. The mighty triumphant Savior, the King of Glory, has returned. He's conquered. He's like the great Roman warriors who triumphed in the battle, and now he's returned. And in heaven today, he receives the adulation and the adoration of the church triumphant. Heaven has received him. Have you ever received him? You'll never be in heaven if you don't receive him. It's interesting to notice here that it says that he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He lifted up his hands. He was lifted up, it tells us there. It's amazing, you know, in the Old Testament you read about the priests lifting up their hands to bless the people. Well, we find here the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He lifts up his hands to bless the people in verse 50. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." He lifted up the nail-pierced hands to bless the church. There wasn't very many of them. Just 11. Judas wasn't there. It was just 11, just a little flock of people, little group of people. Peter, the boy who had tried to take the head of the servant in the Garden of Gethsemane. What use is he going to be? Thomas, the boy who had doubted the Lord. They were a motley crew. A bunch of nobodies, you would say. But yet the Lord was saying to them, "I'm going to bless you. And soon the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out upon you 11 nobodies. And you're going to turn the world upside down. You're going to go forth with the message of the resurrection." It's amazing. It's so remarkable in the book of Acts that this is the message that was preached. Maybe that's the problem with the church today. We have forgotten to preach the resurrection of Christ. But it seems to be that nearly every sermon in the book of Acts that you read of, it's about the resurrection of Christ. Did you notice in Acts chapter 2, you can read it when you go home, the very first sermon that was preached after Pentecost, what was it about? The risen Christ. Peter preached it. Paul preached it. It was the message. Oh yes, I know that the cross is important. The sufferings that the Savior went through on Calvary, of course, they're of vital importance. But don't forget about the resurrection. Don't forget today that we present and we preach a living Savior. Oh, he lifted up his hands and then he was carried up into heaven. And that's where he is today. Because he's been carried up into heaven, thank God he has carried away our sins for those of us who are trusting in him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today that Christ is at thy right hand. Lord, we thank thee that he is our advocate, that he's our lawyer, our solicitor, as it were, in heaven to represent us. Lord, we ask today that your people would be filled with the joy of the Lord. Lord, may we rejoice today as we remember that we have someone in the glory, a man in the glory, to speak on our behalf. But we ask, Lord, for those in the service today who have never received Christ, oh Lord, may this be the day when they would accept the risen Savior. Thank thee that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.